This has been fantastic. Anything else you want to talk about before you get out of here? Have we covered it?
I think we kind of touched on just about every single part of the NBA. You want to talk about China and make people mad?
No. That's good. Way too good. Complex.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time for that.
No.
Who would I have Philadelphia beating in the West? I don't know.
I think they could beat anyone.
I like how they match up with anyone. I'm just not convinced it's the Clippers. I have the Clippers as the sixth seed. I do think they are perhaps the best playoff bet. The Lakers, I'm so worried about some of the other things with the Lakers.
Right.
Like Rondo.
Avery Bradley.
Dwight Howard. The coaching staff.
How are they going to deal with the power struggle between LeBron and Alex Caruso for second best player on the team?
Absolutely. JaVale McGee's health, the coaching staff, anything going on in the front office.
Wait, which coaching staff? Vogel's or Jason Kidd's coaching staff?
Either one.
Yeah. Okay.
What is the internet calling him now? Little? It's not little. Are they just calling him Littlefinger?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did think that the play that he drew up for JaVale McGee the other day where he fake limped off the court was, I love that kind of stuff.
Well, why do that? I think it was one of my
in
Patreon subscribers was asking, why would you do that in the preseason?
You got to try it out.
You got to bust that out in like game five.
Yeah, you got to try it out. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Everybody runs the same stuff. And by the way, in the heat of the moment, you'd be amazed what you can fool people with in the heat of the moment.
You seen any good movies lately?
Not really.
What about the TV
nothing's
shows?
Nothing's really been out. Let's see. So, I mean, I watched The Boys not long ago.
Oh, yeah. That was
very good.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode of Watchmen.
What do you think about that?
Thought it was really good. I'm a fan of Damon Lindelof.
The Boys was maybe a little too real for people.
It was very dark.
Yeah.
Very dark.
It was darker than not wanting to talk about basketball.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it was very dark, but I liked it. Watchmen is really good. I've had a lot of people ask if I didn't read the comics or I didn't watch the first, you know, the movie, could I still enjoy it? Now, I I've read the comic, I don't know, 100 times, and I actually think the movie is very good. So I might be the wrong person to ask, but I think you could just walk in. And you'll have questions after you watch the first episode, but you can find all the answers without even having to deal with the other stuff. Like, it's its own separate thing, but it's got that. If you like The Leftovers, I think you would like Watchmen.
All right, Dave, before I let you get out of here, food recommendation. The people want it.
Again, a lot of sardine stuff on my YouTube lately.
Yeah.
So I actually think...
Pickled sardines? Or
yeah, so canned, right? Not pickled, but canned. So like an olive oil or something like that. Sardines with like capers and onion on toast is delicious.
It's
really
true.
Good. You add some tomato, you know, like you could even do it like with some like pico de gallo if you want, if you really want to get fancy. It's very good. But I think like Americans in general don't appreciate how good canned seafood is. It's really good. I don't mean like cans of tuna, but like I eat canned mussels a couple times a week.
Well, tuna in olive oil is more of a, in Italy, it's more of a legit thing.
Right.
You know, you get more flavor in there.
Sure. But yeah, I love like canned seafood. I'm on a canned seafood kick right now. A lot of canned mussels, canned oysters. Canned sardines.
If you want to hear Dave and I talk more about canned seafood, you can listen to our new food podcast.
that we're definitely starting. Food and wine.
And wine. I can't drink wine anymore though, so it's just going to have to be years of memory. My vintages are going to stop in 2010.
Really? What? Wait,
yeah.
What happened?
I'm a lightweight.
Out on wine.
I love wine. I'm just a lightweight.
Interesting.
Yeah. A very cheap date.
Yeah, but that's a good thing though. It means you'll kind of like savor it a little bit more.
I savor the one sip before I start to get flushed. It's true.
That's incredible.
Yeah, see, we're getting very personal at the end of the...
Yeah, see, but this is a good thing. This is what people want.
This, well, I don't know. I've been hopped up on cough medication all week, so...
I have fooled you. Over the course of the last 2 hours, I've fooled you in to giving people more information than they actually want.
All right, what else you got? You have more... I did J. Kyle Mann's podcast, The Dime Drop.
Oh, all right.
You should listen to that.
He has yet to invite me on.
No, you should listen to that. You would like that.
If he's listening to this... you're a jerk. But as much as we talk, to not invite me on your podcast, man, what a jerk.
But the thing that made me think of this was he has like a Charlie Rose, like James Lipton, like I didn't realize it, but like 10 minutes in, we were talking about, I felt like very personal things, and he had me saying all kinds of things, and I was like, how are you doing this? This is incredible.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, listen, man, I do think, like, we're in a unique time where, you know, when I'm on a podcast, like, people are listening to that podcast for me, I assume, right? On my podcast, let's say, not your podcast. On your podcast, they're hate listening. I get it.
Only some of them. Some of them.
Only half. Yeah. You said half and half.
I don't know.
To quote you.
It was my educated
guess.
The most
polarizing guest you've ever had, which is funny. But I know that I'm probably the least data driven, at least on the surface, the least data driven guy that you have. But I think that I would call myself in the middle. So you probably have a lot of listeners that are very data heavy. I have a lot of listeners that are data heavy, but I have a lot of listeners I have to serve that are not data heavy at all. So I try to sit in the middle because I do think that there's a fine line between, you know, what's fun and what's like feels like work. And I think a lot of the data heavy stuff feels like work.
We're trying to make it fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. But yeah, my assumption is that if people are listening to my podcast, it's partly because they like hanging out with me. So I like to give people information. It's fun. Also, I wind up with some great food recommendations. People send me all kinds of interesting stuff. I mean, it is because I think that they actually feel like they've gotten to know me. So I would say, you know, put a little bit more of yourself out there.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Like what?
I don't know. You should be able to talk about Game of Thrones without someone getting mad about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't think people were too mad about the
It might be one guy.
It's probably the one guy.
I don't even know. I'm just assuming.
I love film and TV.
Yeah, I know.
I love analyzing your lists. Yeah,
see,
I got lists.
Okay. And you and I have discussed this. We have a different way of doing film and TV.
We do, and basketball.
But I'm closer to your end on how I watch and pay attention to statistics.
Well, basketball. Okay, to be fair, basketball has a thing with an objective goal that you can measure.
Right.
And that's what makes the analysis so interesting. When we get into something like film, it's subjective. You're talking about sort of things that are more experiential.
And people consume it for different reasons.
Yes.
Right? There are people that consume it because they consider themselves, you know, art consumers.
Cinephile or something like that. Yeah.
And there are people that choose to watch a movie for escapism, right? I just want to turn my brain off and be transported to a magical place where Iron Man exists, let's say.
Now we're going
into the Scorsese debate.
Oh, we are.
Not even on purpose.
We are.
But not on purpose.
What do you think of that?
I don't care. I don't care about other people's opinions on things that I like, which is why I don't read. As a matter of fact, I think you and I have talked about this. There are a few websites that focus quite a bit, and they will just wear you out with content about this TV show or whatever. I'm not naming any names, but everyone knows what I'm talking about. But I don't consume any of that content at all. I don't need to know what someone else's opinion of the show is, unless I'm like, oh, well, what is this thing? Actually, that happened with The Watchmen, the first episode of Watchmen. Spoiler, but it's been out there. They start with the Tulsa Massacre, which happened in the 1920s. It's not obscure. I mean, it's a thing that happened, but it's not a lot of people know about it. And so it actually triggered a lot of people to go look it up. And that's kind of cool. But I don't feel that way about most stuff. Most shows, I'll just sit and watch them and I'll enjoy them, and then that's it. The Righteous Gemstones being a prime example of that. Fantastic show.
Well, what about, did you see this list Rolling Stone put out?
The one from 10 years ago?
No. Rolling Stone put out a list, I think yesterday, of the singers? Top singers.
Yeah, no, that list is 10 years old.
Oh, okay.
All right. You got fooled too.
I didn't get fooled in the sense that I don't put weight in it. The thing that I think is interesting, and I even tweeted about, is people's reactions to lists like that aren't well defined.
It's visceral, man.
It's a visceral reaction, but it's just so fascinating to say, like, I need to know what you're telling me first before I can have anything more than a question. Like, oh, what when you say these are your top singers, is this,
what is it based on?
Yeah, is it like people who you like to listen to the most, or you polled 20 people, and then why did you poll those 20 people instead of 10 million people, or is it something different? Did you have like, and this is where I get curious sometimes, are you all singing experts?
Right?
And you have a body of singing experts. You have vocal scientists, and you have the greatest singers on earth, and you have sopranos and operettos that can go 5 octaves, and you've studied the vocal patterns of these people, and you're telling me something that I don't know because I don't know anything about that. Without any context, it's just, okay, it's a list, and yet people get so furious.
Yeah. I lost you. I just don't care about lists. And I do this, this is with anything. People tell me their top 5 favorite basketball players of all time. That's awesome. Great.
That's like
Manu Ginobili is one of my 5 favorite players. Boris Diaw.
That's like ordering your children.
Yeah, but okay. But I wouldn't tell you which kid you like the best. You know? That's how I feel about all this stuff. I also don't consume lists. As a matter of fact, and this is going to sound weird from a guy that creates a lot of content, kind of out on content in general. Where I really am not like, you know, I'm reading like the New York Times and Washington Post here and there. You know, I try to stay educated on stuff, but like all this off-season content, man, nah, I'm not reading it. I'm trying to read informational stuff during the season. That's about it.
So who do you read during the season?
I only read people at The Athletic.
Good answer.
I mean, that's what I'm paid to say.
Fantastic.
No, I mean, you know, like I think that The Athletic has actually got some really, really talented people. I mean, I think Fred Katz and Anthony Slater are two of the best beat writers in the league. I think Jason Quick, who I work with on From the Rose Garden, the Portland podcast that we're doing. When it comes to telling the human side of basketball, I don't know if anybody's better than he is. Sam Amick is obviously fantastic, but so much of like my job is as an analyst is very much about understanding the basketball part. All that other stuff is I'll read it, but it's for work. You know, like I have to keep up with what's happening just when it comes up on a podcast. It's not like I enjoy it.
Right. So, but what's your,
I don't enjoy any basketball writing anymore.
Is that consumption part of your work process? I mean,
yeah, it is.
Are you bringing up film and then realizing you either can't watch all the film in mm-hmm. the world or you want someone else's take?
I try. I do my best to watch as much as I can. And I think that in order to do what I do, that you have to do that. And it leaves gaps for sure. And I try to cover those by listening to team podcasts when I have to, you know, by reading breakdowns. There's not really a lot of good X and O stuff floating around out there. I think a lot of it is actually, I'm not going to do that. But there's not a ton of that.
There's a couple guys.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah. There is a couple. But mostly they'll post threads on Twitter. Like Mo DeKeel is great. Steve Jones, like the video coordinator guys that are out there that, you know, are not assholes that are doing good work. I for me and my process, I really want to see this stuff on my own. I don't have to find it on my own, but like if I see someone else talking about it, or if I'm looking at something and I'm not quite sure, you know, if this is a trend, is this just a blip, you know, and then I go and dig a little bit and then I come back. But I try to watch as much as I can. And I'll be honest with you, I probably watch too much.
Can you watch too much? That's an interesting question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you fall asleep at night and you see, you know, freaking basketball on your eyelids. That might be too much.
Well, one of the challenges I've had is if you go too deep on a player when I'm creating a video about him,
yeah,
there's too much.
Yeah.
You
and I talked about this.
Yeah, your level of detail and your level of nuance becomes untenable for like mm-hmm. packaging it back into the human brain.
Right.
It's like, I think I've done it before, but one of the recent ones I did it, my original Brandon Ingram cut was 18 and a half minutes. And it was just like the plays and the techniques and the things you're getting into are, you just have to bring it back an entire level. There's so few times that you need to go that deep. You miss the forest through the trees.
And I think that it's very astute that you picked up on that in your own work. There are a lot of people who haven't. There are a lot of people that just watch one team. And I think that it's really hard to, like we talked about with college, you know, it's like you can watch college basketball, but if you're not watching NBA, you don't know how any of the skills translate. And you still don't know what role that the player that you're paying attention to in college is going to have in the NBA.
Right.
I think it like you see some of these sites or podcasts or writers that just cover one team, and you can tell they only pay attention to that one team. They don't have the context of the entire league. And that's the really hard part about what I do and what you do, is that we have to watch. I mean, there are 30 teams that you've got to pay attention to.
So we got to talk about the heights.
Yes.
Okay. So no one, I think it's fair to say, no one was more excited than me about the NBA switching back to actually measuring real heights, or as they call it, heights without yeah. shoes.
Well, it's what they allegedly do at the combine.
They do at the combine. They
right.
do that.
So a lot of these heights we already knew about.
We know a handful.
Kevin Durant's still lying about his height.
Well, he's been measured.
Yeah. Dude, have you seen him next to Dwight Howard?
Dwight Howard's only like 6'9" and change without shoes.
And they have Kevin Durant at 6'9" and 3/4" or something. 6'9" and a half.
Right. That's to me is a realistic height. He measured at 6'9" at the combine.
Towers over Dwight Howard.
Nah, look at him next to Bill Russell.
Bill Russell is how tall?
Okay, so this is the point. He was listed. He was listed at 6'9".
Right.
Now, what was his real height? He claims he's just under 6'10".
That but he's real... also old.
No, I mean when he was younger. This is from the 60s. Okay, so there was a stigma about being tall in the 50s and 60s. You were seen as like a goon.
Yeah.
It was like cartoonish to be really tall. And so Russell didn't want to embellish his height. He wanted to be more normal. But the whole point is that you have kids now who look up his height on Basketball Reference and they say, oh, this guy Bill Russell, he's 6'9". He's playing with shopkeepers and mechanics. And he wasn't.
Taxi drivers.
But he was probably just under 6'10 without shoes, which means modern day he's listed at 6'11 or 7 feet. And this, your brain gets used to, you know, what is a 6'10 guy look like? A 6'10 guy in basketball is really 6'8 or whatever. A 6'5 guard is usually really 6'4 or 6'3. Like, mm-hmm. there's this whole game that most fans didn't know was being played. And that's the big point to me. It's not, we've talked about this before. Actually, the thing you care about is like functional height, your true height, your
up
wingspan.
To the shoulder. Nobody cares about your head and your long neck.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't change who they are as players, but mm-hmm. we should understand when we're talking about, like we were talking about Nate Duncan. He's 6'6".
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's 6'6 for real. He's like 6'8 in the NBA.
Right.
Okay? I have a friend who's 6'9". For real. Like when I go out with them, people, it's like you got a 6'11", 7-footer with you.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story. So I'm 5'9". That's no shoes. And I was at home and I was at my buddy's bar. And this guy was telling a story and he said something about him being 6'9". And I work in basketball. I know what 6'9 looks like. And I told him, I was like, hey man, you're wearing like combat boots and you might be 6'8". And I hurt this guy's feelings. And we talked about it. And I told him, I was like, listen, you've been telling this lie that you're 6'9 for this long. No, man, you're 6'6".
Yep. I did that once. It didn't go over well. The guy claimed to be 6'9". He claimed to be 6'9". And I was like, no, you're
6'7". 6'3", 6'4"?
With shoes, I'm 6'2". That barefoot, I'm, let's call it 6'2", 6'2 and change.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm a lot of head. I have a...
You, You do have a really large head. I mean, I've got a big head, thing? But I don't. But my head's shaved bald, so it actually looks proportionate because I also have wide shoulders.
You've
so.
Got this. Is the thing you don't realize when you have a big head. Yeah. You need the neck and the shoulders,
right?
And you need that and just have, so you look proportional,
right? Normal, yeah. See, I have that thick neck, broad shoulders,
and your beard helps.
It does help, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, it keeps me from looking top heavy, like I'm gonna tip over.
I can't grow a beard like that.
Oh, you ought to, man. You ought to try.
I've tried. It's you've got great coverage.
Yeah.
I do not have I have spotty. I've got shady backline rotation.
Oh no. You've got Kyle Kuzma help defense.
Yeah, I can't get there.
But so the height thing, right? Like I think that the smart teams are already doing this, right? Like they care about shoulder height. They're measuring arm length, you know, not including like your entire wingspan with your shoulders and stuff. Like it's, what is the part of the body that's functional, right? The functional right. height, functional wingspan, you know, all that stuff. And honestly, I think if I'm the NBA, I wouldn't have changed this. You know, I it's an entertainment product and I'll lean on like the 80s WWF stuff. Like Hulk Hogan is like 6'2". And he was
yes. He's bigger than that.
No, he's 6'2".
He's he bigger than that. 6'2"?
No. Yeah. And he was billed at 6'8". Because he's up on this platform, you know, he's up on stage. And you want these guys to be larger than life. They used to do interviews where he would stand next to Vince McMahon, who's like the same height as Hulk Hogan, and they would put Hulk Hogan on a box to make him taller.
Wait a second. I buy that they put him on a box. I'm looking this up. Dwayne Johnson is tall.
The Rock?
The Rock. Like, he played football. He's mm-hmm. like, he's been around other people. He's tall. He's like 6'4", 6'5".
He's like 6'3". Yeah.
You think he's only 6'3"?
Yeah.
Man. Hulk Hogan is like, isn't he as tall or taller than The Rock?
No.
Oh, man.
No. I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
No, I'm just going to defer to your 80s. 90s wrestling knowledge.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to go there on your podcast.
What were you going to say?
You know that I used to like work in wrestling, right?
I do know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's incredible.
So there is a photo of
that public knowledge? Like, is this
sort
a scoop?
Of. Yeah. So there's a photo of Rock and Hogan, and you can see that Rock is like slightly taller. But actually, in this photo, because of Hogan's, man, that's an awesome angle, actually. His freaking neck is so big that he looks taller.
All right, I'm looking at a photo right now. They look around the same height.
Okay, but where's it at? I think I want to say it's like Rock is 6'3" and Hogan's like 6'2".
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
But we got to get back
but if
to
I were the NBA.
NBA
well, this is what I'm saying. If I'm the NBA, I'm selling an entertainment product. I want you to think everyone is larger than life. I don't want you to think Donovan Mitchell's 6'1".
Okay. That's fair. But there are like 7-footers in the NBA. In fact, a lot of 7-footers don't embellish, which makes this thing more difficult. So I'm thinking about this very selfishly because there isn't a standard pad. It's not like the 7-footers are 7'4", and you know, Boban Marjanovic is 7'9". It's not standard. And so what that means is when I talk about a player and I bring up his dimensions, you have to do this weird thing where you're like, here's what he was measured at. I don't care. Yeah, right. Like here's what he was measured at. Yeah. And it's totally different than the thing he's listed. So Dwayne,
I get it. I get it for your purposes. But I just don't care as much, right? Like I do think that the part where the NBA is an entertainment product gets lost a little bit when we care a little too much about transparency on that kind of thing.
But that's fair.
Like I would be listing Zion at 6'8", 300 pounds.
Oh, and 5% body fat?
And 5% body fat.
Well, they did that with Shaq.
New Orleans is saying anyway. Yeah,
they did. Shaq came into the league. This was back in the NBA on NBC days. And I don't think you can find this promo on YouTube. I've tried. So if you're listening and you could find it, that would be insane. That would be incredible. Send it to me. NBC, Dave, tell me if you remember this. They ran a campaign for like a month before they started. Because back in the day, NBC started telecasting the NBA and NBC after football season.
Right.
They had weekend football games, mm-hmm. Saturday, and so they did college. They did like Notre Dame.
Well, they did the Christmas games.
That's when it started.
Yeah.
So they did the Christmas game. Football season basically ended, and in January they started playing. And so for at least a month, Shaq, I think it was in Phoenix maybe, his first game, but he was scheduled to debut, and he was the Zion of the time. He was the hot thing. And they ran this campaign where it was like, coming this January. You know the guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Coming this January from Louisiana State. Seven 7'1", 306 pounds or something. You know, you got to be precise to make it look right. 306 pounds. And I think the one I always remember is 8.6% body fat, down to the 10th of a percentile.
Right.
Which is ridiculous, but
well, because you know, like, if you're below 10%, he's got abs.
Oh, he's got
right
more than abs. He's shredded.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, so we get in. This is what I'm saying. We get into all these weird things as someone who's worked in health before with a scientific or biological bent. You get into these weird things where it's like, no, the person's not that tall. No, that's not their actual body fat percentage.
Right.
And so it wouldn't be an issue if we weren't comparing it to ourselves.
Yes.
But that's where it becomes an issue. You know. Per our conversation here, it's like if you're talking about a guy like myself or Nate Duncan or whatever, it's like actually you have to add 2 inches or something, but it's even more confusing than that, which drives me nuts. Like Dwayne Wade should have been listed at 6'5".
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, he went with 6'4", and then for his entire career, people are like, wow, he plays really big for 6'4".
Right. Well, and Michael Jordan's 6'5".
Right. And Jordan, you know, I think he's...
But 6'6 sounds so much better.
6'6 sounds better.
See what I mean?
But then you get... But then, like...
I mean, Charles Barkley. Well, 6'3?
Okay,
6'4.
So Kareem. But yeah. Then you do the flip side, where I want to talk about how Kareem was a freak athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that he was, like, 7'2 barefoot.
Right.
So what that really means is he's about the same height as Ralph Sampson.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and Wilt is another example, right? Just another
Wilt,
guy who was...
I think he famously measured, like he actually has been measured. He was like seven, he was over 7 feet barefoot.
Yeah, and one of the greatest athletes to ever walk the earth.
Crazy athlete.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Garnett being, you know, 6'14 or, what
seven,
he, or whatever.
6'13, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, whatever he was. Yeah.
So don't you want to know how tall they actually are in like real human terms?
I like the myth making part of it.
Okay. Okay.
All right. I know that I'm like, I mean, for life, right? If I was working for a team, of course I want real measurements. But God, I really do love the. I mean, just look at the guys we were just able to rattle off where we knew their real height versus what they were listed at. I think we missed this part of. I mean, I hate to even say fandom because I don't really consider myself a fan, but like I used to be. And I think that stuff is fun. I think the myth making aspect of, you know, the height thing, I think it's more fun than, you know, the information gained for the public, at least, knowing the actual heights.
It's interesting. You're kind of advocating for like a hot take. Clickbait misinformation culture because
which is
it's
so
fun.
Funny.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
It's ironic.
But and this is the part that the people who maybe didn't hate our podcast earlier are going to hate. Because, like, I just think that there's a certain point where I just don't care if it's right. I think it's better if it's a good story. And that's definitely one of them. Like, that's just the fact that people lie about their height is just hilarious.
And their weight, apparently.
Well, now, lying about your weight. Now, that's a different thing. You know, for Boris Diaw, like, he wasn't able to lie about his weight because he had check-ins.
So why is the weight different than the height?
You know, I guess it's probably not. I think for the public, for the public, see, look, I'm a hypocrite. You know, it's fine.
Well, you can see it, so that's...
Yeah, it's fine. I accept that I'm a hypocrite on this stuff, and I think it's more fun to lie about your height than your weight.
Okay. I mean,
for an athlete.
I mean, I can say that's irrational, but also respect that you find one more fun than the other.
Yeah.
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 I do. We had
there is no sound. I will fully admit that I have no sound reasoning for this.
Look, this is the whole point of bringing up the height thing in the first place. The NBA went through this whole process of measuring real heights, They still, even though they did this, still haven't explained that in the late 60s, early 70s, they switched to measuring incoming players with heightened shoes to embellish and create this WWE kind of effect. Mm-hmm. They haven't talked about that. They went back to the true heights for whatever reason, just to make me happy. And now, the greatest tease in the world, where do you actually access these heights? They're not listed on any of the... If you go to NBA.com, everyone has their old heights.
Yeah. Maybe they'll update it.
I feel manipulated.
What if they just don't ever do this again?
This is where I'm going here.
It's going to go away. I bet it was unpopular.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell does not want... Adidas doesn't want Donovan Mitchell to be 6'1".
I don't know why. That makes it more spectacular.
I don't know. Because he's a two-foot jumper, and being shorter makes it even worse that he's a two-foot jumper.
Well, that's reality.
Yeah, I know.
You touched on something... You touched on something that I think I run into as a person who does a lot of really deep analysis about how the sausage is made and uses a lot of data, which is that for me, it's often more fun. You're creating layers of the story or different threads that are more fun, or they're alternatives to things that I consider false. And a lot of people push back and saying you're not making it fun. Why is it like this is an interesting question. I'm curious.
And that can be fun for you. Well, I'm just saying my opinion of fun.
Sure, you know, sure.
Again,
sure.
Like we talked about with the movies, right? Like I don't track the movies I watch or give them ratings.
Yes, but I'm very curious. Like obviously for some people, a player being taller and having this mythical thing is fun. And for other people, you can see the appeal for a shorter player like Donovan Mitchell being 6'1", being more relatable.
Right.
And then Steph Curry, and then doing those things anyway. So why is one kind of inherently bullied out of the picture? That's my question. Why is there a bias toward one?
I don't know, man. I just think like maybe it's the vaudevillian circus sort of entertainment atmosphere that permeated American society for so long.
It's just cultural.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that's it. And because, like, for me, I grew up a wrestling fan, which fed right from that that circus culture. And maybe that's where my bias toward, you know, hey, I want these guys to be gigantic or whatever. Breaking news: Blake Griffin sidelined until the first week of November.
I had baked in. So this is really messing with me. I had baked in some Blake Griffin injury for Detroit.
Yeah.
And then right before we started recording, I was like, do I need to go a few wins lower? It's the same thing happened with Clay. I thought Clay would play like 12 games at the end of the year.
Yep.
He may still come back. It's not completely out of the question. But Zion, you know, if I'm already accounting for these things and then the news hits, do you take it down even more?
This is why I'm doing all of my stuff this afternoon.
That's fantastic.
This is it. It's not procrastination because I'm not a procrastinator, but it is just because of all the like.
You're waiting for the real news,
right? Well, there's the known knowns, there's the unknown knowns, and the unknown unknowns.
Like height.
There's no way to know.
I know. How could you know how tall? How could you ever figure that out?
Are we calibrating all these devices that they're using to measure?
We don't
height?
Know.
No. Yeah. No, we don't know. We just trust. I only trust Pythagoras.
We are about 30 seconds from a flat Earth conversation.
Oh God. I'm assuming we're on the same side of the planet on that one.
You mean the disc?
The round planet. You know, the disc. The spherical planet.
What do they call that thing? The globe? The snow globe?
Oh, my God.
It's like the flat Earth model still has the word globe in it.
We might just have to start a podcast, dude. I think we're going to have to start a non-basketball podcast.
Yeah.
That's got to happen.
That's what we'll have to do.
Ask the Patreon if they would support it.
Let's do it.
All right. Seriously. I'm in. I've had people hitting me asking me if I was interested in doing like history and geopolitics.
Are you into that stuff?
Yeah, man.
Do you listen to hardcore history?
Of course. Come on. Yes.
Have you listened to the last one?
The most recent one was
it's like 63 maybe. He's talking about genocides.
Painfotainment.
No. Yes, yes, exactly.
No, Supernova, because Supernova in the East are the last two. But yeah, yeah. Painfotainment. Yeah.
Oh no, maybe is... no, maybe it's Supernova in the East. I don't know. I don't listen to him a lot, but I was listening to that one, and
he also did the Celtic Holocaust, which is fantastic. I mean, that's the best podcast that exists.
It's good. It's really good.
If we were all comparing ourselves to that, we would all quit.
Maybe it's something to aspire to.
I mean, he writes a book.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. He reads like 30 books.
Yeah.
And then...
It's almost like a narrated Wikipedia, but with personality.
But I'm into that stuff from... You know, it's the same process that you see in basketball for me, but I'm heavily interested in it from like behavioral standpoint.
Yeah.
You know,
same. So I think sociology is very interesting to me. And it's why I know a lot about religion, even though I'm an atheist. Right. Why I like to learn about history, because I think history will feed quite a bit into current culture.
Yep.
And yep. I mean, like I just talked about with, you know, why I have. You know, my brain has tricked myself into thinking that I want guys to lie about their height, you know,
which isn't a bad thing.
Right. I agree.
I think it's fun.
It doesn't hurt anything, at least. Although,
well, it hurts,
you know,
me.
Maybe that's a symptom of why fake news was able to, you know, permeate American culture.
Yeah,
so much,
that's right? I mean, that's what maybe I mean. Like, that could be its own podcast.
It all goes back to Vince McMahon lying about how tall Hulk Hogan is.
It's right. Exactly. It's a slippery slope.
All right. So we're glad you're seeing podcast. It. All right. We're doing it.
All right.
It's happening.
That's it. I'm wrapping this up.
That's it.
Hold on. I'm wrapping this up. How do I do this? How do I stop this thing?